something that's close to my heart. And I've titled the message today, Walking as a Servant. Serving is one of the greatest challenges, as well as one of the greatest blessings in the life of a disciple. Everyone enjoys being served, but few make an effort to serve others. People don't mind being called servant, but they don't want to be treated as a servant. The mature Christian is marked by what he will do for others without expecting anything in return. So think about this. Jesus, who was the creator of the universe, our Lord and Savior, yet he was the supreme example of a servant. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we pray, Father, that you would open our hearts and our minds for what you have with us this day, Father. We pray that you would just be with us all, Father. We pray that the distraction would be kept to a minimum, Father, and we pray that you be with us. We want to take this time to lift up those who are defending this country, Father, where they may serve, and may you be with them, may you bless them, and may you speak to the ones who do not know you, that they would come to know you. We lift up law enforcement and firefighters, Father, as they protect us. Be with them and keep them safe, Father. And we lift up our president. We ask that you would speak to his heart, that he would come to know you and do your will. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. So let's start off by looking at Jesus as an example of servanthood. Now, Jesus stated himself in Mark 10:45, no need to go there, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." And this was out of the words of Jesus' own mouth, that he came to serve us. So let's see what kind of an example of how Jesus served his disciples. This time we'll go to John chapter 13. Now this time frame here was during the Feast of the Passover, in fact the last one. Before the Feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, and the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And then verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. Now this is the main reason right here in verse 3 of why Jesus served. You can see that right there. Because his Father gave him all things, and yet he was going to serve. And in verse 4, then he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash your feet, you have no part of me." Simon said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands, my head, you know, let's do it all." And Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taking his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you?" No answer. So he explains, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example of what you should do that I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him." So what can we learn from some of this? Well, he served his disciples in this way. First of all, we learn it doesn't matter how lowly the job is. And the thing is, in those days, as we saw where he told Peter that he was clean except for his feet, in those days, if you were invited to somebody's house, and as you came into the house, the master of the house would usually have his servant, usually the lowliest servant, the last one in line, come and wash your feet. Because you got to remember, in those days, they didn't have shoes and socks, work boots, Nikes, or they had sandals, but not Birkenstocks. And every place they went, usually, they walked. And they didn't pave streets then either, so you were walking on dirt. So can you imagine your feet would be pretty dirty, calloused and hard? Not the nicest part of the body, and yet the master of the house would have the servant wash your feet so that you would feel clean as he entertained you. Probably also to keep his floors clean, too, instead of having everybody walk around with dirty feet. So it didn't matter how lowly this job was, as a servant, do it. And yet he asked for nothing in return. And the third thing we see there too is he served all, including Judas, who he knew was going to betray him. That didn't make any difference. He still served him by washing his feet. As J. Oswald Sanders said, "The Son of God became the servant of God in order to fulfill the mission of God." So how should we be like Christ in serving people? Well, we go to Philippians chapter 2 and beginning in verse 5, we can see how we should be like Christ. As Paul was writing to the Philippians, he said in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God," because he was, "but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." Now, for those who don't know, a bondservant is a little different than just a regular servant, which you could buy or sell. A bondservant is one who loved his master so much that he dedicated his life to his master for the rest of his life. And he would stay with that same master. That's what a bondservant was. And Jesus became a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man. And he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And we have examples all through the Bible of people who gladly bore the title of servant. Give you a few examples. In Exodus 14:31, the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, Hannah, Samuel's mother, of course this was before Samuel was born, she referred to herself as maidservant. In fact, in that one verse, she referred to herself as maidservant three times. in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10, as a young boy, Samuel himself referred or said to God, "Speak, for your servant hears." In 1 Samuel chapter 29, verse 3, even the Philistines referred to David as a servant and found no fault in him. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, Mary, the mother of Jesus, referred to herself as a maidservant of the Lord. In Philippians 1, verse 1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus. So we can see that there were many people who considered themselves servants in God and saw nothing bad about it. In fact, they saw it was something really good, which it is. But we can see what perspective Paul had on being a servant. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and beginning in verse 1, it says, "Let a man consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know nothing against me or myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord." So we see one thing that Paul said, you must be faithful. And you must not be justified or judged by any human being. It doesn't matter what they say. What he is saying there is he is judged by God. And that's what matters, of who is your judge in that case. And then there are some things that Jesus would desire in us to be servants of him. And of course, the most famous ones of those we could see are the qualifications that were given in Acts chapter 6. We go over there in verse 1. He says, "Now in those days when the number of disciples was multiplying," this was the early church, and they were multiplying greatly, "there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists," or the Greeks, non-Jews, whoever have you. "And they were complaining because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution." Because in that time there was a great, well, how should I say, being ostracized if you became a believer. And a lot of the people were ostracized because who was helping the widows at that time? The church. And if you became a Christian, you were kind of booted out of the church. And you had your own little group. So they more or less got things together and they would help out the widows and the orphans. And of course, the Hellenists were complaining that, hey, our widows and orphans are not being helped. So this is why they had that complaint. "Then the 12, meaning the 12 apostles, summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So we see some of the things that servants had at that time and should have today. We see that they must be faithful. They must have the Holy Spirit. They must have wisdom. And they must have faith. With those things, it is easy. Well, I shouldn't say easy, but it is a lot easier to serve. Now, another thing we see too is an attitude. You have to have the right attitude, sir. So, what kind of an attitude should we have? Well, I'm glad you asked. We can go back to Philippians chapter 2 again. And this time we'll start in verse 3. Gives us the attitude right there. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Sounds like a memory verse, folks. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Aha! No conceit. Lowliness of mind. It means there is, don't think just because I'm a servant, I'm better than you. It ain't so. So you're in lowliness of mind. And the key there is put others and their interests first, ahead of yours. You must give of yourself. And I agree, now some reasons people have for serving are difficult or can be difficult. But Jesus even addressed that. In Luke 22, he had all the bases covered, believe me. 22 and verse 24. Now, after the Lord's Supper, as we call it, or communion, was established, and after they were questioning who was going to betray him and all that, there was also a side dispute that came up among the disciples. As they were always arguing about something, they came up in a dispute among them as to who should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, or as being as a child. And he who governs, as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? It is not he who sits at the table, yet I am among you as the one who serves. So that's the attitude that we must have. We must have an attitude. It must change from what we normally look at as a servant. Our attitude is that we are there to serve God. It is a great blessing. Now, there are some things that do hold people back from serving. And we could go to Galatians. Getting your fingers work out this morning, I'll tell you. But since we've been doing the memory of the books of the Bible, find it easier to find the books? That's the whole reason for it. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul tells the Galatians, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." And then, the next chapter 6 right there, verse 9, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all," "especially to those who are of the household of faith," your brothers and sisters here, in other words. So we must be motivated to serve in spite of the hindrances that we have. And why you should take some time and think of what hindrance do I have that is holding me back from serving and work on that. Because Christians have been set free in Christ, but not to do whatever they please, but to serve. As a believer, you have been set free from sin to serve righteousness. Romans 6, only a few more places to go in the Bible here. Romans 6, verse 18. "Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leaning to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. And as a believer, you have been set free from Satan to serve God. 1 Peter 2:16 says, "You have been called to liberty. Do not use it for opportunity for the flesh. Through love, serve one another." And as a believer, you have been set free from self to serve others. As we read in Galatians 5:13, as free, and don't serve the flesh. Because remember, liberty is not a cloak for vice, but use it to be a bondservant to God. There are a couple of passages, other passages, that it will tell us a few things we could check on real quick or write down and check on them yourself. Proverbs 3:27, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it." And 1 John 3:17 says, "If you have it, share it with those in need." And we should take some time and we should think in what common needs can we help others? Can we pray for them? Can we bring a meal to them? Can we go over to their house and fix something? If we have the money, can we help them in that way? There's so many ways that you can serve God. In fact, some of the quick ways to serve God, we can find that in the Bible too. Romans 4:19 says, make for peace, edify one another. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, comfort each other. And again, edify each other. James 5:16 says, confess our trespasses to one another and pray for one another to be healed. Healed of the trespass, healed of sickness. Have that love for each other, because 1 John 3:11 says, love one another. But as a servant, there's one last thing we should beware of. Because in no matter what we do, Satan is always out there. And he could stick it in your mind that look how great you are. Look what you have done. Everything you were serving in has turned out just great. And then what happens when we become proud? And proudness moves in. Well, there is a way to get around that. In fact, Jesus himself again tells us that from his own words. If we go to Luke 17. See, Jesus has all the answers. Luke 17. And verse 7. While he's teaching here, he said to them in verse 7, and which of you, having a servant, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field, come at once, sit down and eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. So no matter what you do as a servant, as a command from God, basically, just think of it. I only did my duty. I didn't do any more. And believe me, when you think of yourself as unprofitable like that, pride has a habit of going away. But don't say it's gone forever, because it will certainly, Satan will certainly bring it back to come at you on that problem. So in summary, I'd like to say that Christ is your example. Jesus Christ was not obligated to become a servant. He did so voluntarily while on earth. Jesus served people in a variety of ways, giving of himself to meet people's needs. We saw that Christ's desire for you is like Jesus. We should be servants to others, having an attitude of humility enables us to serve well. And when you give of yourself, because we need to overcome hindrances to serving and be active in meeting some of the needs of others. There are many ways in which we could be serving. There are many ministries that need help. A lot of times it's just little things. Just start. You don't know what ministry you should be in? Just join any ministry. Believe me, God will put you in the ministry he would like to have you in. So remember that the biggest obstacle we have in serving can be seen very easily. All we got to do is look in the mirror. And that will show us our biggest obstacle, which is usually ourselves. So don't pass on the opportunity to be blessed by serving, because you will be blessed, believe me, beyond belief. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day that you've spoke to us, Father. We ask that you would continue to help us to serve, Father, and to just let your light shine, Father, and not to hide it under a basket. We know, Father, that we should serve especially our brethren and those on the outside too, Father. We should be that light for them. So with that, we thank you and we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.